always communicative. He would take notes of the training sessions.
Right.
You know, he had a will and a way forward that he wanted to be a manager. And, you know, for a club at Manchester United, a result industry, without question, if you don't get a result, there's questions to be asked. He is getting the result. Really has done very well. And, which is really important for this club, is to introduce young people. And he's given young players a chance. And I think that will always be the foundation of Manchester United, from Matt Busby to from Alex Ferguson and to what all he's doing. Mm-hmm. Give the guys a young guy. If they're good enough, play them.
I like the fact that former people of the club run the club, you know. And I personally, because I'm a football man, I like the fact that former Arsenal players take over and have an advice. Look, I will always support first Arsenal. If I can help Arsenal, I will do it as well in any way. I'm happy in my life today. The fans give me one credit. I put always Arsenal first, and I sacrificed the best years of my life in my career to help this club to get out of building a new stadium and paying it back without any money from anybody, you know. We didn't go out and say we need money. We did it with the quality of our work, and we maintained the club at the top.
What up, guys? It's Laddie Poe, and you are listening to Femi and the Gang on 99.3 Nigeria Info. But you knew that. In the music.
Super Eagles and Nigeria International. I'm hanging out with Femi and the Gang on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Great tune on Mambo Me. Get in the music, get in the conversation, right, people? We're talking about, two of the very best to ever manage any side, any sports team beyond football, all right? Wenger and Sir Alex Ferguson cut across, you know, sports generally. So, yeah. They are that big, and we're talking about them. They've just been inducted into the Premier League's Hall of Fame. The first two managers to be inducted into that long list of great, great names associated with the greatness, with the success of the Premier League since its inception in 1992. I'm Anthony, the voice, 99.3 Nigerian Forwards Game On with Femi and the Gang. I'm so excited to be here. I've got Branish, who is, giving me a lot of support from the flanks. He's not particularly giving me, like, a very good ball to score today, but, I mean, who'll make do with what he's giving me? But, yeah, I mean, Bran, you were talking about why you think, aside trophies, Arsene Wenger is the better manager.
Yeah, I think Manchester United has a very rich history, of which, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson is a huge part of. Arsenal does as well in the Premier League. But I think for Arsenal, aside from the trophies, just the impact Sir Arsene Wenger had on the Arsenal team. You know, I'm Nigerian. Mm. So family is a big thing for me, you know.
Meaning
that, you know, the Manchester United players respected Sir Alex as a head. But I think they were more mature to the point where they just saw him as he was the gaffer, right? I think most of the Arsenal players, due to the fact that, you know, how would I put it, that the way they were brought in and how much their lives were changed by, you know, by Arsene Wenger coming in, they saw him more as a father figure. Right? So I think, and then of course he managed Arsenal through a very tough time when they were moving from Highbury to the Emirates. When the stadium was being built, they were in debt, and then they couldn't even buy players, you know. But so Sir Alex
he saw them through
hell and high water. So Alex always had the pick of the, yes, he did. Always. Manchester United has been one of the richest clubs in the world for a long time. And it didn't start from this century. Even before. Right. So I think due to, you know, the kinds of things that he faced, and let's also not forget that Arsene Wenger had to adapt. People don't understand how much he had to adapt to be able to keep Arsenal in the running for European sports season in, season out, even though there was no reinforcement coming in. There were no changes, especially for a proud club like Arsenal.
There were reinforcements coming in, just that they were not marquee. They were not.
When I'm talking about reinforcements, I'm not talking about shoring up the side so that you can have lower than subpar players or just okay players. I'm talking about, when you're talking about reinforcements, Chelsea spent over £600 million pounds just this season to try and bring in quality players,
in
right?
One window?
In one window. No, they did it over two windows.
Okay,
now.
Two windows.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so Manchester City have spent a lot of money to bring in marquee signings. You know, we've also seen Liverpool do that, and that's just in recent times. Manchester United have been able to bring in marquee signings, and let's also not forget that Manchester United were Arsene Wenger's biggest competition as at the time when he was at the height of his powers. So, I personally think that the achievements that Arsene Wenger achieved right now are just coming to the fore, because even with their 600 million signings, Chelsea are still 10th in the league. And Arsene Wenger was able to, at a time when the Premier League was incredibly competitive, Chelsea had some fantastic players, Manchester United as well, Liverpool were doing okay for themselves as well. We're also seeing other sides. It was a top four battle, not like we have top six now.
I mean, see, the era of Arsenal-Man United's rivalry was mainly Arsenal, Man United. It was the two of them, and it was the two of them against others.
Yeah, but it wasn't like saying when City and Liverpool were having a rivalry, it was two of them against.
The way you are making it sound like, I mean, it was Arsenal and Man United were
the best teams in the league. No. What I'm saying is the Premier League has never been easy.
It's never easy to win the Premier League,
you know. So the
even
fact
City
that
are making it look like it easy
because City they go very teased in the middle of their pitch. I don't know what City they do, but to be honest, it's never been easy, even for City. It's not easy to. I mean, Liverpool multiple times have pursued them to the last day of the season. They've had to get to 100 points to win the Premier League. So it might look easy because sometimes it's steamroll over teams, but it's not really easy, right?
So.
In my opinion, I feel like the achievements for Arsene Wenger, especially considering that he's the underdog in this fight, I personally believe
don't whip that narrative.
He is. Everybody says a lot.
Don't whip the underdog narrative.
He is the underdog.
These are two men who have done well for themselves.
Who is the more respected manager in the English Premier League?
The moment
who
you
is
start
the more respected manager?
Underdog conversation.
He's the underdog.
You start putting info. I mean, this is appeal to emotion. It's a weapon of conversation you should use.
No, but it's not. I'm saying Sir Alex was the more respected, and for some weird reason it's justified. Right, he's respected a lot, you know, his team achieved a lot.
Yeah,
but the fact is, I think it also underscores what Arsene Wenger. Do you realize that Arsene Wenger was giving Sir Alex a run for his money at the height of when Manchester United, their best period was in like 1999, and I think Arsenal won the league the season after that. You know, so I mean, Arsenal under Arsene Wenger was absolutely phenomenal.
Well, this is a message to Brownish. Don't start now. Don't give me that. All right, time for you to talk to us. You can also tweet at us, all right, at Nigeria Info FM. 08095975805, and that's for our WhatsApp portal. Let us know, all right, aside trophies, who was the better manager for you? And of course, you can also talk about the Nigerian Premier Football League conversation. GTI partners are hoping to grow the league. They're projecting that in 10 years players will earn as much as 10 million. Would have foreign players complain the MPFL. I mean, we've lived through several episodes of promises and brands coming and disappearing after 2 years. We still don't have, you know, enough details about some of the deals that have been struck by the MPFL. the MPFL with some brands. And now GTI are coming and saying, I mean, we've shown you guys we mean business. We've given you some money before now. We're giving the winner 100 million. We have more plans. I don't know what you have to say about that. Call us up, 0700-993-993. All right, 993, 0700-993, 993, 993. For the ladies, 0146-571-90. Let's go. I'm better on the other side. I'm all good already, so moved on, it's scary. I'm not where you left me at all. Hello, good evening. Hello. Anybody home? All right. Let's try this. Hello there.
Hello, good evening, Tony DeVoy.
Friday, talk to us.
Good evening, Branish.
Good evening.
Branish, you cannot finish this fight as you have started, though. See, Tony DeVoy, I want to ask a question.
All right.
You said Manos Trophy. That ability that Branish is talking about, did he need to trophy?
I didn't want to hook him from that.
I didn't mention the trophy. Unbeaten on its own.
Everything. Can I just mention three things
that
make Sir Alex more, I don't know how to put it.
Yeah.
See, that 99 final.
Yeah.
Not I mean, I don't know if Branny, maybe Branny reward that. I watch it live.
Yeah.
When Samuel Kufo, look, see, who does that, DeVoice?
Yeah.
2 minutes into the game, as injury time, in the Champions League final, the man just made a change. And in less than 90 seconds, it was not even up to 2 minutes, DeVoice. 90 seconds, Man United scored 2 goals. See, DeVoice.
Yeah.
And the same, do you know why I like Ferguson? Ferguson will hold on to his player. He made sure that when Ronaldo won, he made sure that Ronaldo won that world best in England before he sell Ronaldo.
All right.
And Wenger will sell it immediately.
So that's why for you, Ferguson is.
For me, Ferguson is. See, if I'm giving Ferguson 99%, I will be fair to Wenger. I give him 35. Wenger that sold his best player to Ferguson.
Friday. Friday, it's fine.
No, DeVoice, I want to ask you a question.
Friday, we need to
pick that,
more
points. Arsenal won the unbeaten. With how many points? Liverpool finished 98 points at the finish second. That season, where did they end in the Champions League?
Nah.
They were not counted that in the quarter final or in the second round.
All right, Friday.
See, yeah. I mean, if you say out of, no, no, just start this argument at all. You left me at all.
No, Brownish.
If Friday is talking about selling their best players. He had no choice.
He had no, wow.
He literally had no choice.
Okay, hello,
that's
good
now
evening.
In a difficult period.
Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Yeah, what's your name?
My name is Tayo.
Tayo, talk to us.
Right now, so my definition is, see, what Friday just said is just the 100%. Growing up, growing up, they used to take me to watch football, and I grew my passion there. And I started with Man U, and I'm still a Man U fan. And I can tell you,
all right.
Ferguson all the way. We used to call Arsenal the nursery bed for every other club.
Wow.
They would not players for other clubs to come and buy.
Wow.
Yes. Man, Ferguson all the way, please.
Ferguson all the way. It's gonna be hard.
Success. Success has a lot of friends, and Brownish. That's one thing.
So like, this is too new for you now.
No. Success has a lot of friends. That's one.
Let's see if.
And then wait
if Brownish
now.
Can have A two.
We you know now.
Two, or just
okay, 7-0. Lol. Okay. So, and Wenger stayed a longer time into the era where he's this recent era where it became a bit more competitive. Into so let's leave it like he didn't didn't leave at the best time of his career, and Sir Alex left at the highest.
All right.
So okay,
maybe not the highest, but the height. Hello, good evening. All right, call us back if you can. Hello there.
Hello, good evening.
Turn off your radio. Move away from it. Run away from it.
Good evening.
All right, good. What's your name?
Brian, good evening.
Good evening, though.
The reason why I pick Aferenga, because Friday bring now that Aferenga was selling player. Because that time Aferenga, they have no choice than to sell player so that he will keep Arsenal financial normal. Aferenga was bidding Emirates.
Okay.
That time there's no money to buy player, so he don't have any choice. Can he set player and see making top four every season? If Alex can set the player Wenger set, he would not make top four every season.
Aferenga was selling player
because there's no money, and also he was trying to make top four during when was winning all those things.
Trophies.
So forget about the trophy or anything. If really Wenger have the money man you have that time, I'm not sure he will spare all those players.
Who go settle this one? okay. I mean, I'm loving this. But see guys, I feel like this Arsenal didn't have money narrative, I feel like it's just emotions. It was whose fault that Arsenal didn't have money? And somebody, I mean...
No, we're not saying... It's, no, no, we're no, not I saying mean, wait
because,
now.
Because you're bringing this...
No. Angle. We're not saying like, we're not saying it's whose fault. We're saying that Sir Alex never had to deal with the kinds of decisions that Alex...
Does that make Wenger...
Yes, because all those fans... No, we're just saying it's one reason why we believe that Arsene Wenger was a better manager.
Mm.
Because he did not have a level playing field.
Mm.
And he still managed to do his best, and his best was still good enough. Because Arsenal, the tank that Arsenal tanked was after he left... It showed the depth
But you agree that Arsene Wenger could have done more?
How?
In terms of Premier League titles?
How?
In terms of Champions League?
How?
No Champions League?
How?
In how many years? Anyways, how?
How? No, I've described to you how he was. How I feel like he was better. Hello, describe how you could have done better.
Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Yeah, you have 60 seconds.
Yes, Femi from Two Lyrics.
Femi, talk to us.
Yes, I feel I would pick Manchester United, Sir Alex Ferguson, for one reason. I would put them apart from trophies, but for one reason, he was able to manage the club that you would not find players who would leave his grunt only.
Mm.
Oftentimes, when players left Arsenal, it's often as a result of, payments, increased salary, one problem or the other. But for Alex Ferguson, they often part ways easily. Ronaldo left one of their greatest exports, and so many other players left without really big issues. But the opposite for Arsene Wenger.
All right. Thank you so much, Femi. So basically talking about, it's still management ability of Sir Alex. But Sir Alex had some really crazy spat with some of his players, one of them Roy Keane, as much as you can talk about how good his management was, some of his ex-players wouldn't particularly agree with you, different strokes for different folks. We've got some bills to pay. 4 minutes, we'll be back in 4 minutes, and of course we'll take more of your calls and we'll talk more. Anthony Joshua, we'll talk about him, and also I'll give you update on the Miami Open currently going down. And Bori Fati, the father of Ansu Fati, a father is worried about his son. It's a very serious talk. It's not a joke. What should be done for the young star, Barcelona's number 10? who is number 10 in on the bench. We'll be back.
And the gang on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Boss Lifestyle.
Hi guys, I'm Victor Sime. Keep listening to keep listening to Femi and the Gang on Nigeria Info.
Did a full 180 crazy.
Well, Osimhen, funny character. Was wonderful when he visited us right here a couple of months ago, and currently doing so well. We're so happy for him. Continue to wish him the very best. Welcome back, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Came on with Femi and the Gang. Well, this is Don't Start Now by Dua Lipa, but we actually want you to start now. We want you to come forward with your arguments. All right. This is fan battle, fan version. Don't come now. Don't start. Yeah, and Anthony, the voice here, Brown is with me. What if I was going to drag him into the studio, and I think I've done that now. What if I, you know, quickly wading to this conversation before we take more calls and move away from this. Aside trophies. Who was the better manager?
You know what? You know what I'm thinking about saying.
It's set up to a bad
what
joke.
What do you mean?
So you walk into the Nigerian Info Studios and two Manchester United fans are in there talking about who is the better manager between Arsene Wenger and Alex Ferguson.
I am just the host of this show.
No. That's why you done the Tassimi series when I give my honest professional opinion.
No, I am trying to probe you. It's what I should do.
I'm going to give my honest professional opinion. No.
Professional opinion.
Biased professional opinion.
No, wait. See, you said trophies aside.
Yes, trophies aside.
I think we talked about it.
I mentioned
before.
Certain things like, you know, tactical approach to the game, man management, yes, emotionality, passion.
No, so for style of play, I know everybody tilts towards.
Are you
towards...
giving Mark? No.
I'm just. Okay. It's building up. So style of play. A lot of people would fancy Wenger. You know, because easy on the eye.
It looked good on the eye.
Yes, but for me, I more of the 4-4-2, throwing the two strikers. No, to be fair, I actually enjoyed Ferguson's 4-4-2. Wait now, make I land. I mean that 4-4. No, let's be sincere.
He,
over the years, we saw York and Cole.
Yeah.
We saw Berbatov and Rooney. Mm. There was even Van Persie and Rooney.
Yeah.
There was Sheringham and Ole.
There was Chicharito and Rooney.
There was Chicharito, Rooney.
So many Tevez, yes. Rooney.
Do you understand? That front two, that 4-4-2 out and
Sahar
out.
At one point.
Wing, Nani, yeah. Giggs.
Yeah.
Park. It was dynamic. they laugh. It was. And yes, Arsene Wenger had the easy on the eye football, but it wasn't as effective. They play well and lose 4-1. What's the effectiveness when you don't get the 3 points? Do you understand? Yeah, beautiful football, yes, but you're not getting the points. Ferguson made
but
sure.
I mean, Wenger played well and got the points and went a season unbeaten.
It was one penalty miss that prevented, that made him go unbeaten that season.
Wow.
No hard feelings. No.
There's a lot of hard feelings here.
That's
the first one I agree.
And somebody was called the specialist in a failure.
Yeah.
I know it was not Ferguson. It was not Ferguson. Don't come now. Don't start caring. It was not Ferguson.
Okay, so
with these few points of mine, I hope I've been able not to confuse you, but to convince you that we are
banning the
man. Anyways, I mean, I was taking a look at most Premier League games won, and Sir Alex Ferguson, one man, has more wins than the entire Manchester City, the entire Tottenham Hotspur, Everton, Newcastle, of course, more than Arsene Wenger. He's got 528 Premier League games won, Sir Alex Ferguson. Arsene Wenger have got 476. So yeah, I mean, in terms of most Premier League games won, Sir Alex Ferguson is the fourth highest. That is if you put into cognizance player,
manager and club.
Manager and club. So, I mean, just for perspective.
Yeah, you are smiling.
Whatever, you will not speak on this show. Except I see you guys. He did try from impartial. Impartial judge.
Can I just say something? Let me just make you smile more. So his win percentage was over 62% in the Premier League. Over that span of matches, so smile.
62%.
62%.
It's not so high now.
It's not so high. Go and check other managers. Some managers will play 100 games and you have 48% win rate.
Okay. So, I mean, we have a pool of messages on WhatsApp, as expected. Peter Meyer, you would have to keep your messages short, guys. If they're so long, you know, it will be hard to read everything because we have to read more. All right, so just make it short and punchy. Someone says, I feel like Brownish had to pick Wenger out of pity for financial issues. But practically speaking, who that won't concern? All right? Building a stadium happens to be their chosen priority and ditching chances of winning trophies. I mean, Man United knows that they built stadium knee. So stadium position was their choice and the downside along with it. It's also one of the reasons Wenger found himself now having to being debated against Sir Alex. Besides their position, hence the better manager remains Sir Alex. Basically what you were saying, Peter Meyer. Thank you very much. Baloku Joseph from Aguado says, if substitutions and their impact are the criteria to judge a better coach, many coaches will be legendary. I've seen coaches making substitutions when they score with their first touch. So Sir Alex did not do anything special if he made impact substitution in a game. Leave Friday alone, all right? Thank you very much. No wonder, Kenny from Akowonjo. All right, I'll skip that. Good evening, guys. I'm Mario from Bagada. Friday will always be biased when Arsenal is involved. Truth is, Ferguson wouldn't have survived if he had been in Wenger's position.
Facts.
Man United had the financial means, and Wenger had to build Arsenal both on the pitch and in building the club financially. He's the reason the club isn't in administration today, and we have a great stadium. Aww.
Oh, that's so sweet. But remember that Ferguson did it with Aberdeen.
And, I mean,
Won a European title with them, defeated Madrid.
What he did with Aberdeen, it was beyond words.
And it's not as if they did not have heavyweights.
And it was Aberdeen who had nothing, pretty much. I mean, even till date, their most notable time and achievement was still with him. Good evening, Tony, the voice in Brownish, and Hondovai. I think Sir Alex is far ahead of Arsene Wenger because he also sold his best players, David Beckham, Ronaldo, and still went ahead to win the English Premier League. Honestly, the richest clubs in England at that time were Manchester United and Arsenal, but Wenger only preferred to win top four instead. Remember a season Wenger and his team celebrated qualification for Champions League he never won. You guys are doing a great job.
Is this really coming from a United fan?
No, maybe not. Maybe.
Like, are we talking about
really,
a team?
I would really love to hear from Arsenal fans. I would really love to hear an Arsenal fan, you know, go the other way, you know, and try to pick their brain and see why they're going the other way.
Because you know the thing, yeah, because, I think
because at the point they were, club affiliations yeah, will always drag him. You to it. But
they liked Wenger, but at a point they did not like him.
And they wanted him to leave.
Yes, because, you know,
it was that kind of relationship.
It was a love-hate relationship. They do well, yes, but when they look at it in hindsight, we should be doing better. Wenger is not spending money. Mm. He's not doing this. So they weren't necessarily, they liked him, but they won't defend him the way United fans defend Fergie. United fans can call Fergie the greatest of all time. They don't care who you are bringing. Bring Ancelotti, bring Pep, bring... Mm. They would defend Fergie till whenever. But Arsenal fans might not necessarily do that for Arsene Wenger. I mean, they went how long without a trophy? Mm. They went years.
All right. We'll see. Let's take two more calls and we'll move away from this. Hello there.
Good evening.
Yeah, you're welcome. What's your name?
Good evening.
Good evening.
What's your name? The third person there. Brownish. And the boy.
Yeah, my lady.
I don't think you people are talking as if you're analyzing something. You're just talking as a fan. There, you and what's his name? Odova. This Zainab on the line.
Zainab, you're welcome. Zainab,
are you an Arsenal fan?
Yes.
Johnny, wait, let me talk. Odova, let me talk.
Okay.
People are not talking as if you want to analyze something. You're just talking as a fan, the both of you. That's what to put Brownish in your middle. In your middle there. And secondly, the boy.
Yeah, my lady.
It is the time people are supposed to talk about Asta. We're on top. It's not like they give people 7-0 this season. We're not talking about that one. You're talking about us that we're on top. Okay.
Easy.
For me, I go for Arsene Wenger because he's my coach.
He's your coach. Yeah, I mean, he's your coach.
So I go for him. He's the best.
All right. Thank you
so
very much.
So whatever anybody wants to say, he's the best for me. Thank you so much.
No, Zainab.
Thank you, Zainab.
Let me also clearly state that, you know, as much as, you know, we want to be opinionated, all right? We can choose to always have sentiments, and that's okay. All right? Just like any other person can have their sentiments about anything. Analysis, whichever way you also put it, means that you have to stick with a side. Sticking with a side in itself is sentiment. It's giving a reason why you think this should be that or that should be that. All right, so it's not something to throw jibes at. All right, it's you can feel free to have your your angle. Just like tomorrow, I can decide to, in this conversation, defend Arsene Wenger as the better manager, like Brownish is doing now. On a different day, Brownish can defend, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson, right? Uh-huh. So, yeah. All right. Hello there.
In 2023, we're still doing this.
Hello, good evening.
You're welcome. Talk to us.
My name is Amos.
All right. Let's hear you quickly.
I'm calling from Egypt.
All right, let's hear you.
Yeah, I'll give it to Alex Ferguson.
Why?
Because he's a great manager. And I want to say this as my fan. They don't want anything to be given to them. Anytime I talk about something with Arsenal fans, there will be as if, how would I put it?
The conversation isn't about Arsenal fans right now. The conversation is about Alex Ferguson and Arsene Wenger. Please, let's stay on track.
Don't understand what I mean. I said, Friday court.
What we're telling you is just leave all of that and just tell us why you think, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson, you know, besides trophies, was a better tactician than Arsene Wenger.
He's more successful than Arsenal Wenger.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, I mean, you can talk about, success in footballing terms will oftentimes, you know, in fair trophies, right? But maybe in terms of maybe wins or maybe his general, you know, approach to the game, maybe, but we're not talking trophies. We're taking trophies out of the equation, all right? And we're looking at both managers. But yeah, well, let's quickly talk about this man who have got something big to deliver.
Exclusively on the zone. Rising with a clear mission. come back stronger. Full focus. Working around the clock. From dawn till dark. Restless. Relentless. Ready. Redemption is in the ring. Witness the rise. Life on the zone.
Well, there you go. Anthony Joshua, German Franklin is just hours away. 1st of April. Redemption time for Anthony Joshua. Maybe a big move for German Franklin in what has been a very good career for the young man. All right, just one loss to Dillian White. He's looking very good for this bout. And to be honest, Anthony Joshua had better watch his back. But he did say, well, this is really the worst time to fight me.
A big fight for me, for sure. Respect my opponent fully. I respect everything that he said he's been through. And we're here to rock and roll. And I respect my supporters as well. So I put in the work. And I respect my coach as well, so I want to make sure I go out there and I get the job done in good fashion.
This guy says he's going to knock you out. You've heard it a million times as well, but you're always a scout. And there will be people that say this is a great time to be fighting Anthony Joshua, but maybe...
It's the worst time.
Exactly. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, the more he talks, the bigger grave he digs for himself. But it is what it is, isn't it? I could say a lot of things about him, but I respect my opponent. It's not for me to talk, it's for you to do all the talking. It's for me to, like... do my job on Saturday. And that's just really, honestly, what I'm focused on. As I said, like, from round one to round 12, I'm prepared for a 12-rounder, but I do believe in my ability, my counter-punching and all that type of stuff to definitely put a dent in Jermaine. But as I said, I'm not here to talk. I'll just do what I have to do because I really want to win.
Well, he actually went on to talk about the fact that I will retire if I lose. I'm not here to battle people. If people want me to retire, I will retire. I'm not going to fight if people don't want me to. It's not even about the money. It's about the competitor in you. That's what is important. Anthony Joshua has been talking a lot recently. And what have I don't know. I think he's been talking too much. All of these things. Oh, it's the worst time to fight me. I'll retire if I lose. If the people want me to retire, I would retire. I don't know. But I think he's talking too much. And I don't think he sounded very confident. For his confidence, what he's been saying feels maybe not defeatist, all right, but it feels subdued slightly.
He's not any, I mean, look at his past results, you know, losing to Usyk twice. It's not good showing. And confidence, yes, it's evident that whether he talks or not, he's not in the best of form, confidence-wise. And like you said, he has been doing a lot of talking, especially since that loss to Usyk. I think then it was maybe a mild concussion or something.
Yeah.
But then he hasn't really been saying the right things. And all of this goes to the bin when he fights on the first. So whether he has been talking or not, he has to do the real talking on the pitch and on the in the ring, rather.
Yeah.
And it's very important he wins that game. Very, very important he wins that bout, because you know the way boxing is, once you fall, the pecking order, it's very steep.
Yeah.
You know, once you drop down, before you come up again, is going to be hard. Eddie Hearn was talking about a fight with Fury on the cards.
Yeah.
If he gets to win
Fury's camp have, I mean, thrown it out completely.
But you know, Eddie Hearn has his way with these things. Probably something to psych up Anthony Joshua.
Well, he's got to win first, and
he has to win,
and then you can raise that up. But
it's the him winning is non-negotiable for him at this point. Charlie, with what he's saying, you know, another loss here, and you're thinking, what that boxer that we, you know, top of the world at some point, yeah, from the Olympics, you know. Very bright a future, and everything is all looking like it's going down the drain, but he can hold that with victory. It's going to be a very big morale boost for him. Very important.
Will he retire if he loses this bout?
I don't think he will. But then it's going to be at level what? It's, yes. So I think I believe he would win. I believe he would win. He just needs to dig deep.
All right. I'm all good already. So moved on. It's scary. I'm not where you left me. Well, talking about some tennis very quickly. The Davis Cup Finals 2023, Great Britain to face Australia, France and Switzerland in group stage, which will be held in Manchester. Well, they'll play their Group B matches. Talking about Great Britain, Manchester's AO Arena from 12th to 17th of September. Four groups will take that place. Four groups will take place that week across Europe, with Valencia, Bologna, and an unnamed Croatian city also host for this phase of the tournament. The top two in each group will qualify for November's finals in Malaga. So I think it's, that time where you get tennis players linking up, representing, their countries at the Davis Cup finals. All right, we'll be looking out for that one. In the Miami Open earlier today, Jessica Pegula defeated Potapova 2-1, 4-6, 6-3, 6-7-6, went into tie. She won 7-2, and Cistea actually defeated Arina Sabalenka. And while for the ATP, Daniel Medvedev won 2 sets to love against Halis. Jannik Sinner currently up against Ruusuvuori of Finland. That game has been interrupted at the moment, but Jannik Sinner actually leading, 1 set. He won the first set 6-3. The second set, he was leading 2 games in that set when that game was interrupted. I'll try to find out why that game was interrupted, but of course, there you go. This tennis player is looking forward to the quarterfinals and perhaps the semi-finals in that stead. I mean, not forgetting the likes of Carlos Alcaraz, moved into the quarterfinals, one of the stars to look out for. We talked about him prior to this Miami Open, 19 years of age, top seed. 6-4, 6-4, extending his winning streak to 9 matches. After defeating Tommy Paul in the round of 16 to actually progressing to the quarterfinals. And Alcaraz must retain the Miami title in order to stay top of the ATP rankings. He understands how big this is. He'll play another American, Taylor Fritz, in the last 8 after the 9th seed beat Denmark's Hoja Rune 6-3, 6-4. All right, let's see how things continue to grow for this tennis players. The Miami Open, one to look forward to. And hopefully we'll get a brilliant winner. Hodovai, are you thinking of any name for the win?
For the women's side, towards Pegula.
Yeah, Jessica.
Yes, she has done well.
She's doing well this year.
Yes.
Yeah, very consistent.
Very consistent, actually. And
Igor Swiatek seem to be, she's the holy grail now women's tennis. Yeah,
doing and undoing. But then for the men's side, Alcaraz has done really well.
Yeah,
like you said, everywhere I turn, it's Alcaraz. All through today, I was just saying Alcaraz.
Mm.
And he's doing well, and his trajectory is very high.
Mm.
Hopefully, he gets to live up to the billing, because we need a new set of tennis stars, not the ons and offs. Yeah. Medvedev, on and off. We need someone who will be very consistent, and try to battle with the outgoing older ones, because we can't even spot one person now that's going to take the throne from these guys.
All right, and for the record, Igor Swiatek actually retired due to injury a couple of days ago. So, opens up the table for the likes of Raivakina, and others to have a go. All right, we've got some bills to pay. When we come back, it'll be a final dash on Game On, Femi and the Gang, right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. More talk, more excitement when we're back from the timeout. Stick around. Welcome back, 99.3 Nigeria Info, Jews featuring King Promise. Some Ghanaian tune for you there. Calls that your number. All right, Game On, Femi and the Gang. Anthony the Voice right here alongside Hodavai and Branish. It's our final dash on the broadcast this evening. And let's see how many talking points we can rope into the final 25 minutes. And yeah, I did talk about this man before we went on that timeout, right? Yeah, this man.
De Jong squares it! Oh, what a stop for the 16-year-old Ansu Fati. Scores his first ever goal in the Camp Nou. Not even 2 minutes on the clock. He came off the bench and scored in 6 minutes in El Sadar in Pamplona against Osasuna in the last round of matches. He hasn't needed even 2 minutes to finish this one off. The 16-year-old cannot believe what's happening. Twisting and turning, cuts it back! Oh, and it's the opposite. Ansu with the assist. And Frankie de Jong with his first goal in the Camp Nou. Absolutely astonishing.
All right, there you go. Ansu Fati. He was so good. Barcelona gave him perhaps the most, well, glamorous and historic jersey number. One that have seen greatness walk through. It was always going to be difficult. The young star had his own fair share of struggles. A young player, injury, back from injury. And since his return, things have not remained the same. Well, Ansu Fati's father, Bori Fati, has slammed Xavi Hernandez for the little game time his son has gotten so far this season. Barcelona's number 10 hasn't played much like every other Barca's number 10 has done. And his dad has hinted that his son could move away from the Catalan side if things don't change. Just to quote something from him, Ansu Fati's father, Bori Fati. Ansu does not want to leave Barcelona, but I want to see him succeed. I won't go to the stadium anymore. I am very angry with the club. In a month, we will meet with Jorge Mendes for sure. It bothers me that Ansu plays so little. We're talking about a player that is a Spanish international and came from the La Masia. He deserves much more than that. I don't know why Xavi does not play Ansu. He must have his reasons. Ansu is not disgusted with him, as Xavi was always his idol. But me, I am very angry as a father. Martel Alemani tells me that Ansu is part of the club's heritage. As a father, I have told Ansu that it is better for him to leave. But Ansu has told me that he does not want to agree with me on this. He wants to stay. If it was up to me, I would leave Barcelona tomorrow. It says, I told Ansu that if the situation doesn't change, we will have to leave. But he tells me that I'm wrong. And so the interviewer did ask him, is Ansu aware of all of these things he's saying now? And he jokingly said, no, he's sleeping. He can't hear me because the house is very big. Have this conversation in Spanish. So if not, I would have really loved to play that for you. He went on to say, Ansu Fati with few minutes in the World Cup. Why? For what? What happened at the World Cup? I would have preferred Ansu not to have gone for the World Cup. Do you remember how people used to kill Vinicius 2 years ago? The same thing can happen with Ansu. All I'm asking is for people to protect him. He's Barca's number 10 and comes from the La Masia. I really don't understand how Ansu Fati has few minutes. We're talking about Barca's number 10. He says, at the World Cup, you're beating Costa Rica by 7 goals and Enrique does not even send the kid to warm up. I won't criticize Real Madrid because you never know about the circles that life gives. I don't think my son likes them, though. I think that he was reacting about, you know, a possible option for Ansu Fati Before the injury, Ansu Fati was starting matches in a squad with Griezmann, Dembele, Suarez. How come he doesn't play now? Physically, he's in top shape. I mean, Ansu, he joined the famous La Masia at the age of 12, busted onto the scene at the age of 16 in 2019. This season, Ansu has featured in 24 league games out of 26, amassing about 927 minutes in total, scored 3 goals and provided 1 assist. And the big question is the father overreacting? I don't know. Is he overreacting? Is it, is his stance valid? I mean, he went on with the fact that he's Barca's number 10, but I mean, being Barca's number 10 doesn't give you an automatic share to play if you don't deserve to play.
Yeah, that's where I blame Barcelona. I think they sold him dreams.
Oh, dear me.
You know, when you give somebody the number 10 jersey, it's responsibility. And at that point, he was the shining light. I think it was when 20, I can't remember what number it was, 21. He was the shining, you know, the golden boy then. And I don't know what made them give him that number 10 jersey. And injuries have succumbed to, you know, blight his upcoming. He hasn't even got, he's just 20. He has had, I think, 2 serious injuries already. And yes, with that number 10, you feel... You can't blame his father for feeling, you know, number 10. I mean, he deserves to, because when you sell someone dreams, number 10, you ideally you should not be sitting on the bench. But I think where everything happened, where everything went south was him getting that jersey, him getting that responsibility. If he was not given that jersey, he's not going to come out to see all of these things, because he feels the number 10. We've seen Ronaldinho, we've seen Messi. This is an iconic number for Barcelona, and you giving it to a youngster means you believe in him. And it's not his fault. Barcelona have undergone different and changes. He mentioned Ansu Fati starting when Griezmann was there. Griezmann was a flop at Barcelona, truth be told. So, but now Xavi has tried to play football in a very compact way. We're seeing Gavi play left wing a lot of times. And they've been winning 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, you know. He has had to sacrifice that flair for grinding out results. And Ansu Fati doesn't fit in his plans. As he's 20-year-old, he's 20 years old, rather. He's not supposed to be the fulcrum of that side. Goes back to Barcelona selling him dreams again. And his father is bragging about leaving. Yes, a couple of clubs would be after him, but who is willing to pay a lot of money for potential? Potential that has not really yielded any form of results. After the injury, yes, he has made a couple of appearances. He probably shouldn't have been on the plane to the World Cup for Spain, if you're being honest. Talk less of playing. I don't know where he's angry about not playing when... But Spain, where 7 goes up against, because yes, there's that. But he's 20 years old. Let the boy say boy.
I mean, when you speed up the growth of a young star, and then expectations rises, it's I don't know. Talking about dreams, Boy Spice. We've seen the likes of Ronaldinho, Rivaldo, Lionel Messi. Who else? Riquelme, Giovanni, and I mean, great number 10s. Jari Litmanen. I don't know how many remember him, who's, you know, so good at Ajax. Angel Cuella also. And handing that number 10 jersey to Ansu Fati, was it in itself a wrong decision by Barca, which is looking to be? Because the entire situation is getting messy. His father is speaking to the press now. He's very upset. He wants to leave. You know, I mean, this is probably part of the fallout of Jose Bartomeu, all right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the downsides of the many decisions.
And
I
don't know why the situation that comes to mind is the one with Rashford. You know, when... Zlatan wore number 10... for some months in January before he moved to LA Galaxy. Yes, and Rashford got the number 10. At the time, I thought it was also very premature. And if looking at what he did last season, if he did not do well this season, I mean,
it would have been
cut losses and go. So if you don't live up to the bidding and you feel you are not worth, cut your losses, because teams will function whether you're number 10 or you're not. If you don't fit into the plans, you don't. But for a youngster, that's where I say it. I'm sure he feels hot. His father is obviously probably saying some of the things he feels.
Some
of the things, not everything. I'm sure he's not going to come at that tone. But then you would obviously feel, I'm being number 10. They told me I'm number 10. They told me I'm this. And they're not giving me what they should be giving me. Yes, you know, you don't deserve things in football. You work for it. But when you have that kind of responsibility,
and
you
I don't
want
feel
to.
Like Xavi, I was going to ask you, do you feel like Xavi has really helped the boy?
No, it's not Xavi's fault. Xavi, no, he's fighting
he
for his
to,
life.
Yeah, he has
so
to
Xavi
get the results.
Fighting, exactly. He needs to get the results too. And if it comes at the detriment of someone who is not indispensable, then why not?
Then why not? Well, I mean, since you mentioned Marcus Rashford, Man United are still yet to, have a headway in terms of contract extension with Marcus Rashford. It's dragging, it's opening the doors for multiple reports and, you know, hearsays and all of that. But we definitely know this is not hearsay. It's concrete that Paris Saint-Germain wants Marcus Rashford. It's clear. And Al Khelaifi has talked about it. If he's available, if he doesn't extend, we'll look at ways to bring him to the club. Although earlier today, Marcus Rashford came out to debunk, some of the figures that were flying around. You know, there were some reports saying that Man United were looking at, giving him £500,000 per week and all of that. I think he's come out to debunk all of that, and he's come out to say really he's focused on winning, more trophies this season with the Red Devils. But in retrospect, he hasn't extended with the club just yet, and I'm very sure that they've got their package on the table. He's probably still considering it with his team. And maybe too extreme for me to ask, but in 60 seconds, can Man United afford to lose Marcus Rashford?
No, he's a franchise player. But I think there's an option for an extra year.
Yeah.
So if they don't agree, United will trigger that. Definitely, and try to negotiate during that period. But it gives Rashford the upper hand. But it's evident, Tony, he's the team's best player.
Yeah.
And Ten Hag literally gushes about him when he's speaking, and he's going to do everything in his power to keep him.
Talking about Chelsea also, Mason Mount of Bayern Munich is growing a lot of wildfire. We hear it could happen. I mean, Mason Mount has had issues with Chelsea in terms of agreeing a new deal. Wants more money. Chelsea not ready to reward him with that. Has he done what needed to be rewarded? That's a different question. But Chelsea will hold out for a lot of money if Mason Mount will go. We're hearing £50 million. They will hold out for him, which might be difficult to then sell him, because I don't know if Bayern will be ready to pay that much.
I mean, Mount will be lucky if he goes to Bayern Munich. What has a career leap?
Yeah, I mean, and play under a manager who has always believed in him.
Like, I don't know. He's Chelsea born and bred.
I mean, now he's being fizzled out of the team gradually.
Yes, he has lost his bargaining power, it's not. His performances haven't exactly warranted it. But now that he's not starting games, he can't even negotiate on the front foot, because, I mean, the team is winning without you.
Yeah.
So it's either he tries to lower his demands or he gets moved out. Bayern Munich coming for him, I don't know, it's probably the Tuchel connection, I don't see him moving past maybe a Liverpool, Newcastle, maybe, see him. To be sincere, Mount is a... No, please.
All right, one more story for you. The FIFA Under-20 World Cup a draw cancelled. Not just that, but of course they have been stripped. Indonesia have been stripped of hosting rights for the Under-20 World Cup. The decision follows the cancellation of the official draw of the tournament, which was due to be held in Bali last Friday. The PSSI, that's the Football Association of Indonesia, said FIFA was forced to cancel the draw after Bali's governor, Wayan Koster, refused to host the Israeli team. Well, Indonesia does not have any formal diplomatic ties with Israel. And recently, protesters have held marches demanding Israel be stopped from competing in the tournament. It's only fair that FIFA takes themselves away from all of this drama. You know, we've always talked about politics and football. I mean, as much as we try to separate it, you really can't. At the moment, Indonesia will not host the Under-20 World Cup. We're waiting for more details from FIFA. I mean, their statement was very short. FIFA has decided, due to current circumstances, to remove Indonesia as the host of the FIFA Under-20 World Cup 2023, a FIFA statement said. A new host will be announced as soon as possible, with the dates of the tournament currently remaining unchanged. Potential sanctions against the PSSI may also be decided at a later stage. All right. Well, the last few minutes of the show is dedicated to you and talk to us. Feel free to dive into any of the conversations and let's feel your pulse. Is the number for you to call. This one says on Twitter at Anuyo, only Wenger was better than Sir Alex Ferguson. Okay, the only thing Wenger was better was his tiki-taka ball. Wenger is nowhere Sir Alex Ferguson. As for me, it's Sir Alex Ferguson. I don't understand what Brownish is talking about. Well, also says we're talking about management here, and I would choose Wenger over Ferguson because Wenger will turn a known player to a world-class player. Why Ferguson can't do that? I use the hashtag game on. Says Wenger will pick that young kid and make him an adult. Thank you very much. So says Tony, how many times did I call you? This is your choice is sentimental, Sha. For me, oh, outside trophies, I'll go for Daddy Arsenal. Arsenal Wenger says up United, and that's a Man United fan. Great one. All right, let's see who's talking to us. 0700 993 993 993. Before we get to the phone lines, this is Isika from Asolo in Ikorodu. When Fatih's father said, what Fatih's father said is sensible as a parent, but it's a cause of problem for him at the club. In the start of the season, Ferran usually was a regular starter, and the likes of De Jong, Baldi on the bench, but now they are now on the starters and Ferran not regular. Your message is a bit mixed up. It says Fatih need to prove himself to get any chance. Hello there. All right, call us back if you can. Hello, good evening. Hello? Hello? All right, call us back if you can. Hello, good evening to you. Hello, good evening. Ooh, phone lines acting up. Hello, good evening to you. All right, call us back if you can. This one says, for me, it's hard to choose. But the biggest signings Arsene Wenger did were Alexis Sanchez, Ozil, and he won FA Cups. The closest expensive signings were Matasaka and Arsenal's best defender, Koscielny. Even some players I never knew their names from were shocking because there were no money. I think I was talking about Arsene Wenger and his very prudent spending. So it says, Anthony Joshua's statement should not be negative about the fight. As a boxer, you gotta be confident and riled up when even if you cannot fight. Make all the mouths to put away your opponent, but it's opposite. But I think he will still win. Peter Mai, thank you very much. My brother Dennis from VI says, as far as I'm concerned, I'll go with Arsene Wenger because Wenger is a genius in setting up a playing pattern and good at suffocating teams with a style of play. And because of that, Arsenal have carried his DNA. Thank you very much, Dennis. Hello, good evening to you.
Hello.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hello, Devo.
Yeah, Asu.
How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. 30 seconds, let's go.
My name is Maz Azubika. Thanks for
your service. All right, Mazi, let's talk to you.
I want to talk about Atenugesha.
All right, quickly.
You know that when Atenugesha started winning his Boston race, and one of our leaders, I think, congratulating Atenugesha. that is what Senegosha started having slowly. So if Senegosha wants to bounce back in terms of boxing,
who should he go to?
Let him go out and just start some fasting and cancel all those issues that our leaders are wishing. I believe he bounced back.
Alright.
So no hope of loss.
No hope. All hope is not lost. All right. Thank you very much, Azu. I'm very sure that he'll be encouraged if he were to hear that. Good evening, The Voice, Alex. Hodavai Brownish Truth should be told. I love Arsene Wenger, but Ferguson is far better than Wenger in terms of achievement. We're not really talking about achievements, titles. No, we're just talking about in terms of approach to the game, man management, personality, you know, all of that beyond what they won, you know. So it's a bit different from the cliche. All right, definitely one was more successful than the other, but in terms of the approach to the game, if you were to pick one of those managers to manage a team for you, would you go for Ferguson or Sir Alex? For Wenger or Sir Alex, did I just say Ferguson and Sir Alex? Hello there.
Good evening. Hello, good evening.
That's still loud. Hello, good evening to you.
Hello, good evening, Alex.
Alex? Anthony?
Okay, Tony.
Yeah.
Tony, sorry.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Yeah.
I'm Ezidu from Suzuki.
Ezidu, talk to us quickly.
Let me tell you, Ferguson and Wenger are great men.
Yeah, they are.
But what is distinct, what is uncommon with Wenger is that Wenger know how to bring to, know how to play as a unit. Wenger is the founder of Tiki Taka. In fact, it's when Pep came to Man City, is when I begin to know what Wenger planted in Arsenal. That is why when he left, Arsenal were unable to do well until they went and bet Arteta, who have mastered the tiki-taka type of play from Pep. You see, but Tony, having said that, before I go,
right,
I will tell you that the greatest title Wenger will ever have is unbeaten. No club will have it. And it's why they are jealous in Arsenal. Why Liverpool is not in relegation zone today is because of draws they have gotten this season. So it's not easy to get a draw. If you go that way, match and get a draw, it's not easy. For Wenger to have unbeaten title is what makes him uncommon.
Thank you so very much. Thank you for that one. Three more calls. Hello, good evening to you. All right. Call us back, 0700-993-993-993. And please, do well to keep it very short. Good evening, Fat G. Please, can we analyze these coaches according to their employer's objectives? Arsenal wanted to build on and off the field at the time while Man United won a trophies. He says, I still go with Wenger. Mr. Olad from Isheri. Thank you very much. So I'll go with Ferguson because he was always able to influence the referee's decisions. Raising United always got penalties in their games and hardly had penalties against them. And that is a good attribute. David from Ikotun. All right. Hello, good evening to you. Hello? Hello? Something wrong with our phone lines this evening. A lot of calls incomplete. Hello there. Hello? Anybody home? All right. Let's take a couple more. All right. This one says, comparing both managers will not be fair since they didn't coach in the same club. Both managers were inducted into the Hall of Fame for what they achieved individually at different clubs. From Ikorodu. We're not talking about their achievements. All right, get it right. Son says, can Man United compete with City now? Didn't City flog Man United under Fergie that made him retire? When City and Chelsea came into the scene, Man United can't even qualify for the Champions League, but Wenger qualified for 20 years despite the financial constraints.
Which Colony, one did he win any war?
I mean, that consistency in itself
it's very important.
It's huge.
Yes.